Good morning, Boker Tov. Good morning, Boker Tov. Welcome back to 10 Minutes of Meaning. Please help yourself. Oh, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. Please help yourself to coffee, slushies, pastries. 10 Minutes of Meaning is generously sponsored by our dear friends Marilyn and Michael Fidak. We're grateful for their generosity and their leadership in so many capacities. We are learning Tanya together. We're going to finish the third perek, Perek Gimel, today. We've been learning until now the importance and the notion of understanding where our feelings come from. Feelings are not fleeting. Feelings don't just rise up inside us. Feelings are not out of our control, and feelings should not be stimulated by outside stimulants and by outside substances. Feelings, says the Baal HaTanya, all come from, they all stem from, they are born, they're conceived, and they have gestation in the mind and the brain and our intellect cognitively. The Seichel shebenefesh hamaskelas, when a person meditates and contemplates and thinks about and opens their eyes and sees and experiences Hashem everywhere and everything, then the feelings that emanate that come. So that's what we're up to. So therefore we should understand, as we mentioned last night, that the Baal HaTanya, last week, the Baal HaTanya, the Chabad's philosophy is not simply to fabreng and make lachayims and try to arouse feelings within us that come from nowhere. There's nothing wrong with fabrenging, there's nothing wrong with a beautiful lachayim, but it begins with a vort, with a dvar Torah, with a meditation, with a reflection, with understanding, with seeing, with analyzing the greatness, the godless habore, or the three different things that the Tanya itself lists, that all existence is saturated with Hashem, soviv kol olmem, that all existence is engulfed in Hashem, because kula kame delokhashiv, and that in His presence everything is nothing. So when a person meditates and reflects and lives and sees the world through those glasses and with that perspective, then the feelings that emanate, the feelings that arouse, that arrive, all have a basis. They're all born from this union, from this conception that takes place between the Chochmah and the Bina. And the Tanya continues to describe the feeling that comes. Then the legitimate, genuine, authentic feelings of Ava, Yira, and Pachad. Ava is love. Ava is being drawn towards, close. Ava is awakening, arousal. Ava is love, a flaming fire. Yislaiv liba ba'ava aza kirish be'esh. Like a rapturous love, like a flaming fire. Yira is the Yira Saromimus. It's not fear. It's not fear of consequence or punishment or accountability. It's a yira saromimus. Yira is to see, as we spoke about last week, days of awe, yamim noraim. They're days of goosebumps. They're days of awesomeness. Wow. Something is mamish awesome. We're filled with awe. We recoil with awe for the greatness and the vastness, and in contrast and comparison, how small we are. A sense of reverence, a sense of awe. And then there's pacha, which is yiras haonesh, when we realize that we're in the presence of greatness. We, in contrast, are small. We're accountable, and there are consequences. Then we're filled with a sense of awareness that there's pachad. Wow, what's going to be the result if I don't meet the expectations? So the Tanya continues. The feeling of love for Hashem, that if a person is meditating, reflecting, thinking, seeing the world in that way, then chashika v'chafitza u'teshuka. You should be aflame with chashika is fervor, and chafitza is a burning desire, and tshuka, a tshuka is a longing. V'nefesh shokeka l'gdulas ein sof baruch hu. And a nefesh that is shokeka, a soul inside us, that is an insatiable craving for what? The greatness of the ein sof, of the infinite, endless light of Hashem. To never get enough, to never be satisfied, to never have our fill, but just to be yearning, to be drawn like a magnetic pole, to have this insatiable appetite, to want more and more and more. The Medrash Rabbah says, what's the difference between these descriptions, what seem to be synonyms? It's a Medrash based on a Pasuk in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Daled. First is, Dvika, is the notion that we're supposed to perform our mitzvahs with a sense of dvekas, to cling, to cleave, to attach ourselves, that we do it with an emotion. We don't just go through empty acts. We don't just do something as a checklist. We're not just being Yotze Zayin, but a person is cleaving, they're clinging, they're connecting. There's an emotion through it. Chashika is with a sense of inspiration, with an inspiration. And chafitza is an even more intense state, which is that unlike physical desires, that when you've eaten, a person who has an insatiable appetite, a delicious steak, a great piece of fleisch, somebody who wants loves a herring bar, a cocoa bar, whatever, charcuterie board, whatever is in fashion and vogue today. Okay, there's only so much of it you could eat. And when you feel full, if you keep eating, you're nauseous, you've had enough, genug. Most physical sensations of appetite, it could return, and it could return relatively quickly, but when it's full, when it's satisfied, you're done. Chafitza means when it comes to the Orei Ein Sof, when it comes to the Ribono Shel Olam, there is no enough. You had an incredible tefillah, you had an incredible learning of Torah, you did an act of chesed, you connected to the neshama of another yid, you connect through his boididus, you have an incredible conversation with Hashem, you never say, you know what, I'm good, now back to life, I could detach, I'm done. A person has a chafitza, there's a yearning, an insatiable appetite that can never ever be satisfied. And then the highest level, the Baal HaTanya says, is vihi klos ha-nefesh. The love of this highest level gets a person to a place of klos ha-nefesh. Klos ha-nefesh. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Uksiv tzama nafshi lelokim, tzama lecha nafshi. My soul thirsts for you. My soul thirsts for Hashem. Nichsach avigam kalsa nafshi. A Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Pei Dalad. My soul yearns, it languishes. What is this level of klos ha-nefesh? More than just, I have an appetite, I have a yearning, I'm curious, I want, read, learn, the next year, the next tefillah, the next opportunity to do chesed, the next connection with Hashem. Not just, this is what's nourishing and nurturing and lighting me on fire and I want more and I can't be done. But to get to the level of klos ha-nefesh means kalsa nafshi, not nichsefa, kisufin, like we sing ka'echsof. It's not just, it's my yearning, it's what I'm drawn to. Kalsa nafshi, to the point that there is no me other than him. What tzaddikim call bittel, we learned in the Amunah Shir a couple years ago about bittel, in Bayam Darkecha, bittel, to be mevatel ourselves mean, not that there is Hashem, and I'm in conversation, I speak to him, I hear him speaking to me, my whole mission and my purpose is to serve him, but then there's also me, and the me enjoys this food, likes to go to this place, likes to relax this way, likes to watch this game, likes to, there's him. And I know my job is to serve him and it's his world and I surrender and I submit to him. But in addition to him, there's a shtickle, there's a little bit of me. Bittel, kalsa nafshi means I absolutely surrender. There's no ego, there's no I. There is no me. There's nothing but Hashem. I am just an extension of him, an expression of him, a manifestation of him, that there is no me. That is a love for Hashem, the highest level. The tzaddikim, a person could get to that highest level, not just that I am a nivra. I was created and I am here, and I was created and I am here to serve him. But even beyond that, there's no me. I am not here. I am just an expression, a manifestation. I am just a light. I am an illusion. There's no I. There's no sentence that begins with I. There is no I. To practice that level of bittel, which is klos ha-nefesh, to get to that point of absolute surrender and submission, not that there's me surrendering to him, but there is no me, there is no I. V'atzimonu miyisod ha'eshe b'nefesh ha'elokis. The Tanya now says that this notion, this capacity, this ability, this yearning, this insatiable appetite, this drive, this love, this endless and boundless love, lahavdil, I don't want to connect it because we can't even compare it. But you know the couple that's engaged and it's like nauseous to be around them? The way they look at each other, the way they talk about each other, you're in the room, you want to throw up just being around them. They're obsessed with each other. They're infatuated with each other. You don't say, and that's why today some say you have to put some gedarim until you're married. You got to put some gedarim, take a break, relax, fall back, get on with your lives, designate some time, but otherwise create some space. Why? Because without those gedarim, a person once said, okay, I was yotze, I spent some time. I was yotze, we had a conversation. I was yotze, I answered your text. Now I want to go hang out with my buddy. Now I'm back to life. Now, when a person is in that place and that state of obsession, of infatuation, you can't separate them. They're obsessed, thinking, they're picturing, they can't wait to be together, they don't want to be apart. So lahavdil, that's that level. That's that level, the devika, chashika, chafitza, until the level of klos ha-nefesh, says the Baal HaTanya. We're so attached, we're so, the Ribono Shalom, we're so madly in love, we're so infatuated, we're so obsessed, we can't stop thinking, experiencing, being in conversation, spending time, connecting intimately. V'atzimon, this thirsting, is miyisod ha'isha b'nefesh ha'elokus. It's a result of the element of fire of the divine soul. Kama shekosva tivyim v'cheinu be'etz ha'chaim. As the natural scientist, right? Etz ha'chaim states similarly, shiyisod ha'ishu b'lev. The element of fire is in the heart. So fire is emotion. U'mekor ha'mayim v'alechus me'amoach. So scientists, naturalists, saw the world at the time. Rabbi Steinsaltz in his commentary speaks about it at length. They saw the world as divided between these two elements. It's either under the banner of fire or water. There's a balance between fire and water, and we can understand and interpret all of the everything in the world under the label or the banner, the heading of these two elements, either fire or of water. So fire represents the emotion. And where does emotion born? Where is emotion housed, hosted? It's in the heart. Whereas water is, moisture is rooted in the brain. As it says in Eitz Chaim, Chachma is water of the divine soul. Rabbi Steinsaltz expresses this a little bit, the water and the fire, just to expand a drop, I guess pun intended. And he says the following, fire and water. Yeah. Fire represents upward movement, ecstasy and emotional arousal in general, and in the godly soul, the soul's thirst and desire to rise above its material embodiment and merge with the divine. Water is the soul's intellectual element. Like water, the intellect is cold and damp, as opposed to the hot and dry nature of the heart. Water moves downward, always descending to the lowest point. This is also the directional flow of Chachma, which descends from supernal heights to all points of existence. So, thought is like water. It's cold and damp. It's not, the facts don't care about your feelings. They're cold and damp. Facts don't care about your feelings. That's from the Balatanya. That comes from the Tanya, even if the person who said it didn't know it. It comes from the Tanya, that the water is cold and damp because facts don't care about your feelings, and they flow, Chachma flows down to the lowest point just like water, whereas emotions, they burn like fire. While water flows to the lowest point in a terrain, fire always flickers which direction? Up. No matter which way you hold the candle, no matter which way you hold the fire, fire always flickers up because emotion is upward movement, ecstasy, emotional arousal, the soul's thirst and desire to rise above the material embodiment. The material embodiment. And all the other emotions can be subsumed under love and fear. In other words, every emotion is either bringing you close or it's pushing you away. Every emotion can fit under either ava, because that emotion is contributing to drawing you close, or it fits under yira, because it is making one recoil and move forward, and move further away. So we saw so far the Baal HaTanya has defined chachma and bina. Chachma is the spark, the flash of light. You see something and there's wisdom here. It's not defined. It's not in words. I haven't analyzed and dissected it. But there is a flash of light, of wisdom. That's Chachma. Bina is lahav and davar mitoch davar. Bina is bein, to distinguish, to analyze, to compare, to contrast, to begin to formulate. And yet, now we have to define what's das. Because it's not chab, it's chabad. Chachma, bina, and das. And these aren't synonyms, each is different. Chachma and bina, what is in the system of chabad? What is das? Va'das. Hulashon, and that's how he ends the third parak. Hadasum yilashon va'adam yada es chavav hulashon is kashrus v'ischabrus. The Torah, when it wants to tell us about a physical, intimate, romantic union, it uses the language of das. Adam yada es chavav ishto. Adam knew his wife. He knew her, we would say, biblically. He knew her. It doesn't mean he knew her. He saw her profile online. He read a resume. He knew her. Doesn't mean he knows her phone number. He knew her means he knew her physically, he knew her intimately. Da'as is an awareness, an exposure, an access that creates an intimacy. It is the depth of access, of bonding, of connection, the union, the joining of something that it's not sterile and it's not available to all. It is a personal, very intimate connection. Shemekash daito bekesher amitz v'chazak ma'od. Like physical bonding, das is the process of focusing your mind with a firm and strong bond. An intense fixation of thought on the greatness of Hashem. So you could have a knowledge which is dry and sterile in an ivory tower. Data, information, it's intellect. Da'as is the emotional connection to that knowledge. It's integrating it into ourselves. It's leading to transforming who we are and how we behave. Ve'eno misiach daito. It's not information from the neck up. It's not information from the neck up. A couple of years ago, there was a professor of ethics at one of the Ivy Leagues who was arrested and let go because he might have been teaching ethics in the classroom, but he wasn't practicing ethics outside of it. You can teach ethics as information. It could be knowledge that's housed from the neck up in the brain. And then it's chokhmah maybe and bina maybe. But da'as is the intimate connection we have with the knowledge that it filters down and transforms and becomes part of our identity. Da'as is not adding any new information. That's chokhmah and bina. Da'as is the attachment and the connection and the joining and the intimate relationship that we have to render the wisdom or the knowledge to make it real and to make it relevant. Because you could be brilliant and you can be have encyclopedic knowledge of the greatness of the Ein Sof. And that's Chochmah and Bina. You could know Shas Ba Peh. But that's not Das. He namely, unless you bond your Das, focusing your mind with intensity and consistency, lo yolid benafsha yira va'ava amitis. Because that feeling that you're really meant to have, the life you're really meant to live, that's filled with genuine love and with yiras haromimus, a reverence and an awe, the awesomeness of Hashem, unless it's das, him dimyonos shav, they are worthless delusions. So there are people, even Rabbanim, who can spit back a lot of knowledge and a lot of information, but they're dimyonos shav. Unless they translate and filter down to becoming da'as, unless there's an emotional attachment connection to them, unless there's a union with it, unless it's an intimate, ongoing relationship conversation with Hashem, then they're simple delusions, worthless delusions, says the Baal HaTanya. Dimyonos shav, a very powerful expression, worthless delusions. You need da'as. In fact, Chazal say, based on a pasuk, that Moshe, before he would enter the Olmeid, he would wait to be called from Hashem. You see that kol talmid chacham she'ein bo da'as, neveh latova himenu. If a talmid chacham doesn't have da'as, a putrid carcass is better than them. Because Moshe Rabbeinu waited to be called, summoned before he entered. He knocked before he came in. Someone said, come in, before he walked through the door. That's such da'as? You have to be brilliant in order to know, knock before you, let the person say, come in, before you come in? That takes da'as. Das is, you could have information, you could have knowledge, you could be brilliant, you could have a photographic memory, you could be knowledgeable about everything. If it doesn't translate into who you are, if it doesn't filter and come down to what you are and who you are, nevela tova himenu. Rav Lichtenstein, in an article on Das Torah, writes of a story when he went to pay a shiva call to his Rebbe, Rav Huttner Zatzal. Rav Huttner had lost his wife. And Rav Lichtenstein went to go see his Rebbe, and just before him, there was another very prominent gadol, a prominent Rosh Hashiva, who walked out. And Rav Huttner was irate. And he turned to Rav Lichtenstein and he said that this great Rav who had just walked out was offering all kinds of really silly, silly comfort. At least you had your wife for this long, it's all for the good. All kinds of things that were not comforting, to say the least, to Rav Huttner. So Rav Huttner turned to his Talmud, to Rav Lichtenstein, and said, Chazal say, kol tam achacham she'ein bo das, neveh latov ha'menu. They didn't say, am ha'aret she'ein bo das. They didn't say an ignoramus who doesn't have das. They said a talmid chacham she'ein bo das. What do you see? You could be a talmid chacham, you know, gans kol haTorah kula, and you have no das. Simple common sense. It hasn't translated and informed who you are, how you carry yourself. You lack das. You could be kol talmid chacham she'ein bo das. So his thesis in his article, based on the story with his Rebbe, was on the concept and the question of, do we believe in Das Torah? You can't even talk about Das Torah if somebody doesn't have Das. Bli Das, ein Das Torah. And you could be a Talmid Chacham she'ein bo Das. So to be someone that we turn to for their wisdom, their knowledge, and their vision for our world, they have to be a Talmid Chacham, but they also have Das. Because you see, you could be a Talmid Chacham she'ein bo Das. So the Baal HaTanya here is saying, what's Das? Das is nothing new to Chachma and Bina. It's not adding any new information to Chachma and Bina. But Das is the taking the Chachma and the Bina, and it filters down, so they're not Dimyono Shav. They're not some delusions that you know a lot of information, but you don't know how to pay a basic shiva call. You don't know what to say in the right moment. You lack common sense. You don't carry yourself having translated and absorbed and be transformed by that information. Das ensures the sustainability of emotions and their energy. And now it depends on, it incorporates chesed and gvura. We're back to the spheros a little bit. Perish ava ve'anfeh, ve'yira ve'anfeh, love and its derivatives, and reverence and its derivatives. And with that, we end Perek Gimel. Mirat Hashem will pick up with the fourth Perek of Tanya next week. May it be a day of besoros tovos, yeshuas, v'nechamos. Amen.